A wonderful opportunity for me to speak before I travel out to Chutz La'aretz to be able to speak to my most favorite shir. Don't tell the other shir. You're not supposed to have favorite shir. I'm just favorite children. And I want to speak about a topic. I believe I'm going to call the topic Finding the Shira Inside of You, Finding the Song Inside of Each of Us. I hope it goes well. Habalina Latova. So, this week's parsha, of course, Shabbos Shira. Some people have the different minhagim on this wonderful Shabbos. Exactly what to do. People put out the bread for the birds and things of that nature. Other people said it's problematic because you can't certainly do it on Shabbos. You don't have to feed animals that aren't yours on Shabbos. Okay, so on and so forth. It's not halacha here. I apologize. Okay. So, right after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Torah tells us, in my opinion, something quite remarkable, and I've always had difficulty in understanding this. Bnei Yisrael experienced the Eser Makos, and as I'm sure you guys know, the Eser Makos did not have to be Eser, they didn't even have to be one. God could have taken the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So the Mefarshim are famously comment that the reason why there were Eser Makos in Mitzrayim was for the Jews. Right? It was to take the Mitzrayim out of the Jews, which obviously took all the years in the Midbar, and all the Nisim and the Flos, as we say in the Haggadah, Luku Pelet, and this and that, and all these things, really 15 Makos, it really was all these different Nisim and the Flos were all done for the Jews to witness the great hand of God. And this, of course, continued as they came to an impasse. And that impasse was the Yam Suf. And things looked pretty glim and grim. And Baruch Hashem, as we know the story, we say, in Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'amlois, Haisa Yehuda Lakocho. What was Yehuda Lakocho? Because Yehuda was Lakocho because he was the first to go in. Yehuda Yehuda Nachshon Me'aminadav. They would be rewarded for that. He took the stance and it went all the way up to his nostrils and then, of course, split. The ultimate form of Amunah. So now Bnei Yisrael sees all this. It's not just, we know that the Nisim and the Flos happened at Yam Suf were a lot as well. 12 different Chalakim. The water were actual walls where everybody could see each other. There was actual food that was in the Yam Suf itself. The floor wasn't muddy. V'chulu, v'chulu. Things were pretty amazing. So now, they get out of Yam Suf. You could imagine euphoria, how they were. They decided to spontaneously sing the song. First the men, then the women. And it's unbelievable. And then what happens? They go to a place called Mara, Ki Marim Hein. The water was very, very mar. And they say, oh my God, we're going to die here. Okay? So of course, the first glance, the question that I have is, are you serious? Are you really serious? Right? We have this sometimes with our children. Right? You're doing like everything for them, you know? You just bought them ice cream and pizza and you took them to the baseball game, whole thing. And the kid's like, so can we get a toy now? I'm like, are you serious? We just did everything. Because you're the worst father in the world. I'm like, are you really serious? I just took you to box seat baseball game. I bought you everything at the game. Afterwards we went and I bought you a jersey. Then we went out to eat. And now I have to go to Toys R Us for you? Right? I don't understand. So on this level, Bnei Yisrael, they're complaining. They don't know that God is going to take care of them. We're going to die here. Because the marimhe doesn't make sense. So, this is pointed out by the Mefarshim. The miracle, of course, is that Moshe is given the task to throw a tree in. He throws the tree in, the tree becomes sweet. The hunger will end, of course, with man. Another amazing miracle that we can't even understand, except there's a company here in Israel called Mun, and I can tell you their products, I'm pretty sure it tastes nothing like Mun, I hope. The greatest Mefarshim asked this question. The people who thirsted for water are told, Moshe, of course, the famous instance where he's told to hit the rock. In this case, water flows. So Rav Aaron Cutler, the Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of the Lakewood Yeshiva, has a beautiful sefer called Mishnas Rav Aaron. And there he asks, why did God wait for the suffering of Klal Yisrael in order to give them water, in order to give them food? Why did he have to have them complain first in order to get it? Why did God just say, here come the miracles? Wow, look. And they're like, that's so weird. How's their water over here? Wow, how is their manna over here? Why didn't he provide on the outset, on their journey through the wilderness, the water? I think a pretty good question. And in fact, the Ibn Ezra of Sajagon quote that this was the miracle of all miracles, this water. So Rav Aaron Cutler answers that the purpose of all creation is to recognize Hakaras HaTov. It's to recognize that inside of us there is good, and the ultimate form of good is recognize the good that others do for us by saying thank you. That is, of course, the mitzvah of Bikurim, he writes, in the Beis HaMikdash. This ultimate form, which is quite interesting because of the Haggadah, we enunciate these psukim, right? We mention it when we give Bikurim, Parshas Kisavo, we mention the psukim of Bikurim, and in Bikurim, of course, we mention Mitzrayim, because they're Hainu Hach, they're all a form of gratitude to Hashem. And in fact, the observance of the Hot Torah, says the Rav Aaron Cutler, is predicated on gratitude of Hashem. That's why the Mechilta says that in 2 weeks, Parsha, in 2 weeks from now, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeitzchem Me'aretz Yitzrayim, because it starts off with what? These words, to heighten the sense of gratitude. As it says, Nechovos HaLevavos, that's the essence of who we are. The experience of life without water was needed. Why? To appreciate Hashem's kindness. Because it is a lot of times when we don't have, and then we have, that we show gratitude. And I find it a fact, although we could argue about this, after lessons from the Lev, of course, we could argue on this fact. And that fact is that people who don't have, are right, and they don't grow up with a silver spoon, they're generally much more thankful and grateful. I've mentioned this before, I got in trouble, I shared a Dvar Torah to a tzibur of non-Talmidim, and I made fun of a particular community and said, you know, I'm sure this was on Lessons from the Lave, probably as well, and I said that when this particular community comes to my table, the boys from that community, or set of different towns in the community, so they generally don't help out. And always the out-of-town guys are always helpful. Why? Because I think they appreciate, or maybe it's obviously coming from the parents as well, but they appreciate that they don't have everything. And they're much more thankful. And it has a lot to do, by the way, just in general with how we serve Hashem. When you don't have 18 shuls across the street from your house, and you have to walk a little bit, and it's far, so you appreciate your religion more. That's one idea. But I think the idea goes a lot further. And that is really saying that in order to appreciate God, sometimes we have to be put in situations where we realize that we're not all that. And we have to bring out inside of us who we really are. And sometimes it's at the depth, at the lowest, when we actually become the highest. Because we realize, wait a minute, I can do that. I can't do that, I can do that. I use this example a lot, but it's now on my mind. My wife's running the Miami Marathon in a week from now. You could support her at yachad.com. Anyway, so in the depths of running a marathon, a lot of people quit. And there's actually people who are paid to be spot runners, I don't know what their official name is, and they run next to them with their balloons, and they go, no, you can do it, you can do it, come on. My wife tells me great stories on the trail where people came up to her. She told me once, this old man who was like an expert marathon runner said, you got to do it, come on, you got to do it, keep going. And it's at that point you realize your greatness. You realize, oh my God, I can run a marathon. I thought I couldn't do this, and I can't. You realize inside of you what's there. It's through not having water. You realize, wow, what a look at the power of tefillah. Look what it did. Look what it is not to have the simplest thing. Shaftimayim misaso. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's famous idea of why dafka, the simcha space of shoeva, lo yuroh a simcha b'yom, if you didn't see that simcha shoeva, was what? Nisuchaya mayim. It was a water libation ceremony. Big deal. Rav Aaron says, yeah, because even water we have to appreciate. Even that you say thank you to. Imagine you go to someone's house, my pet peeve, and you go for a good meal. And you're excited. And they put out on the table water. Only water. So you have to appreciate it. If you're very thirsty, you appreciate water, right? If you're Daniel Hartson, you appreciate Coke Zero. But okay, you should appreciate water. Everything. I'll read you a Gemara. I apologize. But I'll read you a Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas, and I think this will answer this question that I have. Rabbi Meir asked the following question. Here, there's a series here in the Gemara speaking about Priyas Yamsuf. And he asked, no, he doesn't ask, he says a statement that, in my opinion, is quite perplexing. Rabbi Meir says that the fetuses in their mother's womb also sang Shira. Also sang Shira. So, one could ask, how is this possible? Why is it necessary? What is the point of a fetus singing Shira? I understand giving praise to the Rabbanu Sholom spontaneously as was done. Why did Rabbi Meir tell us that this is exactly what happened? Right? Hi, Rabbi Meir, Omer Minayin, Shafilu Ubarim, Shebimei Imam, Amru Shira Alayam, Shenabar, and he quotes, Imakalot Barchu Elokim Hashem. So it doesn't make any sense, seemingly. The ubar, the fetuses? What would be the point in them having an inner shira? So this sounds very similar to the Gemara in Nedarim, which tells us that the Rabbanu Sholem teaches each of us Torah in the womb of our mother. Some say, expand upon this, that what? Right? The Gemara talks about Laman Amin Beis, Nida, that we learned all the Torah. So we expounded that we were smacked, all of us were smacked by the Malach, and that's why we have this little Malach point, and the story is told about, you know, that kid that was born, and he didn't have it, and he recited Kol HaTorah Kula. I don't know, those stories, okay, go onto YouTube for that. But what is the point in learning the entire Torah inside of your mother's womb? What would be the point of that? Rav Soloveitchik explains that the concept of being taught all the Torah is that Torah is innate in a Jew. It's inborn. It's something that we have inside of us. It is our connection to Hashem. Like we said last week, those that came, the connection to Eretz Yisrael and the Torah, Arayis Achadhu. There's an innate connection between Eretz Yisrael, Hashem, Torah and Hashem. Inside of us is Kol HaTorah Kula, but what do you need to do? You need to get it outside of your bodies. You need to get it out. It's inside. You know all the Torah. It's inside of your, it's right now inside. You need to just develop that. I know somebody who might be teaching you in the next half hour, give or take 5 minutes, and he's a good representation of Kol HaTorah Kula. Ask him his story. I'm sure he'll tell you that when he went to JEC, he didn't think he would know Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, probably Baal Peh, backwards and forwards, upside down, Rashi's Tosis. What happened? You all know all of Shas. You have all of Shas. It's inside of your neshama. It's not that you forgot. It's inside. It's innate, says Rav Soloveitchik. It's inside of you. So maybe we can say that that's the same thing the Gemara says in Brachas Nun, Rabbi Meir's statement, you have Shira inside of you. You have thanksgiving. You have Hodah innate inside of you. You just have to bring it out. How do we do that? How do we bring out the... So hopefully, it's through learning
the great qualities that each of us have inside of us and recognizing that. And we don't need a situation we hope that we don't have water. We don't need a situation where we don't have something in order to appreciate it. Because the thank you is innate inside of us. Shira is something that the Ribono Shel Olam is inside of each person. The Uber was singing Shira. The Uber was learning Torah. Sounds like something else. That's inside of all of us. Your year in Israel is about taking these qualities outside of your neshamas and bringing them to the forefront. If you haven't had the experience of Mirtz Hashem, I bless you that you'll have this wonderful experience one day where you're going to chap something. What does it mean to chap something? You're going to get something. You're going to be in a situation where you're learning a difficult toisvus. You're learning a difficult, whatever it might be, sugya, and you can't get it. You can't chap it. You just can't. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb goes off. All of a sudden, the Rebbe puts it in perspective and you understand it. And something happens inside. You're like, what? That was cool. You go to a shir, and afterwards you're like, wow, that really spoke to me. All it is all the Torah kula that you knew now coming out. Because you know all the Torah already, you just got to get it out. The same thing with Shevach Voda, singing praise to God. Maybe this year when you say Hallel and Yom HaTzmut, it'll be different. Besides, it'll be the 70th year commemoration of the State of Israel, but it'll be maybe the first time you've ever been in the State of Israel. And you'll feel a hallel like you never felt before, because when you were in school, that was just like the hallel so that we can get bagels. You didn't really feel Eretz Yisrael. Here, you'll be in Eretz Yisrael, you'll give shira to the Ribono Shel Olam, because it's inside of you, really. Just waiting to come out, that shira. Some of you probably never experienced a hallel like you experienced here in the yeshiva. There's a video that we did years ago, not that many years ago, where we did a video for one of our dinners. And we wanted to interview Rav Schechter, because Rav Schechter loves our yeshiva. And he had come that day, and we said, oh, perfect. So I called the film crew to come. I said, get Rav Schechter to say something nice about the yeshiva. It'd be nice to put on the video. I think Rav Boaz was being honored. I said, perfect. So he says, you know, what a wonderful yeshiva. It's so warm. And he says, today was Rosh Chodesh. And we said, Hallel. And Rav Schechter started crying. I said, I've never said a hallel like that. I've never been in a yeshiva where the hallel was so beautiful just on a Stam Rosh Chodesh. He's crying. Obviously, we couldn't use the video then because it was a little bit too emotional for just a hallel. But the point was, that is what Lev HaTorah is about. The Lev, the inside, getting inside of you. Everybody listening, that's what the point is, Rabbi Yisai. The point is that you need to get out what is inside of you already. The people who say, I can't do it, it's inside of you. Say, yes, I can. The shir is inside of you. The hodah is inside of you. It just has to come out. And unfortunately, sometimes we need a situation where we lack something to recognize something. Right? You know that feeling when your nose has been stuffed for days and days and weeks, and finally you wake up one morning, oh, you can breathe again. You can smell again. Excuse me for being graphic, but you come to Israel and the water's not agreeing with you. And it's really not agreeing with you. And the combination of the water and the shawarmas that you're eating, the Abish to help them, your roommates. And it's not going well. And what happens, Rabbi Yisai? Finally you feel better. All of a sudden now your Sher Yatzer is different. I know someone, Nebuch Lo Aleinu, who had a surgery, and unfortunately a lot of their intestines had been taken out. And he said to me, you don't know what Asher Yatzer is until you have the surgery. The first time after the Asher Yatzer. We shouldn't have to have that situation. Yes, B'nai Yisrael had to have the situation of not having the water to appreciate the water. We shouldn't have to have that situation. We should have a situation where brachos, which is really just the thanksgiving to the Ribono Shel Olam. Thank you for this amazing food. Right? I remember at the Seder, says Hakesh Shinov. We break the teeth of the Rasha. So Rav Nevinzal says, what is the point of breaking his teeth? Okay, so Shinov is Sadik, right? If you Gamachi, okay, but nice. Rav Nevinzal says, no, it's more. Because he doesn't recognize the Ribono Sholem. He doesn't recognize Ma'avodos Hazot, Lachem, Lachem Vlolo. Good. So don't appreciate his food. I'll knock your teeth out, and you can have vitamins. You'll live, right? You could sip juice all day, but you won't be able to taste the great things of the Ribono Sholem. Does it take a Papagayo's meal to recognize the greatness of the Ribono Sholem's food? Or is it something innate every day? You say to yourself, wow, I'm lucky to have this. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, shehakol nehi'a bedvaro. Is my birchas hamazon something that takes, hopefully it takes time, and you don't just walk out? It's praise to God. God doesn't need to praise. You need to praise. You need to develop the sense of what's inside of you. The shira that the Gemara says was inside of every single one. With that, I give you the bracha that you should find inside of yourself. The two major, I think, important sides of you. And that's the side of the Torah that is inside of you, kol haTorah kula, and the Shira that's inside of all of you. And finally, as we'll commemorate very soon, not this week, Tu B'Shvat. I won't see you on Tu B'Shvat. I think Tu B'Shvat is exactly that idea as well. The tree was thrown into the Menorah. It was the trees, the dead of winter when we celebrate Tu B'Shvat. Because it's when you think, now there's going to be trees? But there's nothing going on. Look at the trees. They look pathetic. No, that's exactly when they're getting their most of their sap. They're getting most of their nutrients to become the tree that they can become. Because innate inside, that's what we do. We understand that even when it looks like it looks, oh, guess what it's going to look like in a few months from now. Should be zeicha to that concept, that idea. And with that, you'll be extremely successful and give a nachas ruach to the Ribono Shel Olam, to your parents, and to our wonderful yeshiva.